Welcome back. We are in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 26. Let's go. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 26. A shout out to Frotica. Met her yesterday at HEB. She was helping me, praying for you. Verse 26, for such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens. Then there's a semicolon, but we'll start going into this one, right? We're going to observe. So we just did. We read the text. We're going to interpret it. What does it mean? And we're going to apply it typically. What does it mean to me? So sometimes we'll apply it based on a word or a verse or kind of a couple of verses together. And really just kind of look for what I've been thinking about, what I may have made notes on, or what God may put on my heart at that moment. So here we go. So for such a high priest, this is Jesus, right? Jesus is our high priest. He is our intercessor. He is our intermediary. He tore the veil because of his work on the cross, his finished work on the cross. And that's why our work doesn't get us to heaven, but his work gets us to heaven if we accept that he's our substitute, if we accept that he's our Lord and Savior and invite him into our life. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy. So we're told repeatedly in the Bible that God is holy. Completely makes sense for God, right? God is going to be perfect. He's not going to screw up like us. All right, little kids, we look at them. If you have kids, you know this. They'll make mistakes. They'll screw up, sometimes little, sometimes big. Sometimes they'll repeat mistakes. Sometimes they'll have no remorse for it, and sometimes they'll know that they did wrong, and they wish they didn't do it. And then if we look at ourselves as adults, we're really no different. Sometimes we screw up little. Sometimes we screw up big. Sometimes we screw up repeatedly. Sometimes we don't have much remorse for it or conviction for it or condemnation for it, and sometimes we do. But we are not holy. God is holy. Even when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we are not holy. We are declared holy. We are credited with his holiness, with his righteousness. But we are not holy because of anything that we have done, any of our deeds or anything like that, right? God alone is holy. And it says he's harmless, undefiled, right? He's not tainted with all the sin. He didn't. We have inerrant sin, which means that we were born with sin through our bloodline, right? All the way back to Adam and Eve. Every single person in the world comes through Adam and Eve. And then after that, through Noah's family, right? Because it went Adam and Eve and it branched out. And then there was the flood and you're down to eight people. Noah and his family and everybody came from those eight people. So we all have very common ancestors in both Adam and Eve and Noah and his wife. But Jesus wasn't born into that. He was born of Mary. He didn't have that inherited sin that we have. He is undefiled. And then he went through his life without sinning. You and I, we sin often, typically daily. If we look at the law was not there to heal people. It was there to reveal, right? Not to heal, but to reveal. And it says, separate from sinners. So he was not a sinner. He was blameless. He was spotless. He was perfect and has become higher than the heavens, right? He always has been, always is, always will be. He's the Alpha and the Omega. It's God. It's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Three persons and one Godhead. And with his work on earth, Jesus really became perfected, right? Because he went through the suffering of his own creation, suffered at the hands of his creation. The very people that he created were the ones who actually persecuted him, beat him, taunted him, ridiculed him, mocked him, stabbed him, punched him, spit on him. And he knew all that was going to happen, and yet he still chose to create us, and he still chose to come and live among us, and he still chose to die for us. That is a God that I want to follow, right? You talk about someone who's going into battle, and they're like, yeah, I've, you know, seen this person, and this person lies and steals, and they're lazy, and they don't have integrity. I don't want to follow them in battle. How am I going to follow them? But then you see this person who's battle-tested, this, you know, general, this leader, whatever, and they're like, they've seen them, they've seen their integrity, they've seen how they come through circumstances and their character and how it's been shaped, and they're like, I will follow that person, right? I've seen people in my life in kind of the business world who I just trust and like and admire and learn from, and I'm like, I will follow that person in business. And there's Christians in my life who I've seen their character tested over time. I've seen them go through fires and go through suffering and come out extremely closer to God and pushing into God and pressing into God the whole way. And I'm like, I will follow that person's lead. I want to sit under them. I want to study under them. I want to learn about God under them because I know that they're going to lead me well. They still could lead me astray, right? Because we're sinners and we can make some really bad mistakes and sins at times, but that's not Jesus. 27, who does not need daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices. So it's contrasting him. He doesn't need to offer sacrifices daily, unlike the other high priests. Why? He's the great high priest. They're high priests and priests. They have to offer these sacrifices. They're offering sacrifices to God, and they're slaying animals. They're offering other blood. He's different. He doesn't have to do this daily to right? In the Old Testament, they would do these sacrifices, and they would do them over and over and over, week day after day, week after week, year after year, etc., depending on the typical sacrifice. You know, some were yearly, some were weekly, etc. But it was this repeated process, and that's because those sacrifices didn't put away sin, they just covered it. But just like if you were covered in, I don't know, crayon or something, you know, the rain comes, you take baths, eventually it's going to wash off and you get colored again. Really bad analogy, so my apologies for that. But that blood, essentially that sacrifice, would wash off. It was just a covering. It didn't put it away. Unlike Jesus didn't slay animals. He let himself be slayed. He didn't shed the blood of others or other animals, or of animals, but he shed his own blood. He willingly sacrificed his own self. And you can only do that once. You can't repeat that sacrifice. And it put away sin once and for all, as far as the east is from the west. Past sin, present sin, future sin of every single person alive. So he didn't need to do it daily. He didn't need to do it repeatedly. He didn't need to do it more than once. His work on the cross is finished, one and done. I love that. And that's why you can follow him. Because anything we could do, or any earthly pastor or quote-unquote priest or anything like that, you got to keep doing it. You got to keep doing it. And that's not what God is about. God is about, come to me once, I'll live inside of you, and then we'll do this life together. And you don't need to worry about going through some rituals, because that's man-made. You don't need to go worry about some traditions or something that's going to behold you and make you feel suffocated and trapped in this box. And did I do enough? And you've got this sheet of paper out and you're checking, well, I did this bad, this bad, this bad, but I did this good, this good, this good. Oh, good. I've got 7 goods for the week and 4 bads. I'm okay. No. God's like, you accept me. I live inside of you. Eternal life forever. Love it. All right. So it says, he who does not need daily is those high priests to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the people's. All right, what does that mean? Well, the sins of the Old Testament, those priests, they would offer sacrifices for their own sins because they were sinners, and then offer sacrifices for the sins of the people, because the people who studied underneath them and they led were also sinners. Jesus is not a sinner. He didn't need to offer a sacrifice for himself. He offered that one sacrifice for us once and for all, and he took all the punishment of sin, all the justice, right? You hear that word social justice, and you hear just the word justice. It's getting what you deserve, right? Mercy is getting less punishment than you deserve. Grace is getting more reward than you deserve. Justice is getting what you deserve, and sin deserves punishment. And so he took all that punishment, all the sin of mankind, past, present, and future, upon himself. That's why it was so hard. That's why the torture and the pain was so bad on the cross. And that's why he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because God the Father had to turn his back on God the Son at that moment for those 3 hours while the punishment was being carried out. It was the first time in the history of God, which is forever, that they were separated. So they were separated in those moments, and it was just devastating for them. And that says, for this he did once for all when he offered up himself. We talked about that. 28, for the law appoints as high priest men who have weaknesses, but the word of the oath, which came after the law, appoints the Son who has been perfected forever. So the law would appoint high priests through the Levitical line, through the line of Aaron, and they have weaknesses. Why do they have weaknesses? Because they're humans. They're going to be subject to temptations. They're going to make mistakes. They're going to sin. They're going to break the Ten Commandments. They're going to lie, steal, covet, have other gods, idols, at times not honor the Sabbath, not honor their mother and father, murder through hatred, adultery through lust, or more, etc., but not Jesus, right? And Jesus had the oath of the Father, which none of the other priests or high priests had. He's the only one who got the promise, the oath, the swearing in ceremony, if you will, from God the Father, which is awesome. And it says, which appoints the Son who has been perfected forever. And the Son is perfect. He died on the cross. He's waiting for us in heaven. He lives inside of us through the Holy Spirit. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. How awesome is that? There's one way to heaven. It's not. It is a narrow path, but it's an open and universal path that anybody can get to. And that's the beauty of it. People say, oh, it's so limited. There's, how can you say there's only one way? Well, show me another way. Every other way out there relies on mankind earning their way through reincarnation, through purgatory, through your deeds, through what you've done. Jesus is not about what you've done. It's about what I've done on the cross and nothing else. It's Jesus plus nothing equals eternal salvation. So if you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, invite him into your life, declare that he's Lord, ask him to forgive you for your sins, admit that you're a sinner, right? Just that process. It's not a specific word or order of words, just declaring that he's Lord and you want him to rule your life and you believe he died on the cross for your sins, then you're eternally saved. And he's going to change your heart, he's going to change your life, and it's going to be better, and you're going to have more peace and joy. You may get persecuted, you may lose your job, your family members, your friends, but that's all part of it for some of us, right? God says, you will be hated by all men for my name's sake. Lord, thank you so much for being so incredible. Guide us, lead us, strengthen us, help us to follow you, to press into you. Help us to rely on you in everything and not get down by worldly circumstances, but set our eyes and our thoughts and everything on things above, not on things of the earth, Lord. Amen.